Are you ready for the Low Blows Network? Every Wednesday on the Low Blows Network, the Low Blows team are at hand to break down, analyze, and make fun of all things pro wrestling. Hosted by former pro wrestler Rick Nash.
I think the only reasonable thing we can do now is turn John Cena heel.
Selfie with me fucking dog.
Banned from Nigeria. I will be talking to the government tomorrow morning.
YouTube star Corporate King.
This elephant has four legs. Joe Russell's four legs. Joseph Stalin, if he had two more legs.
Bone saw rips off his shirt, yeah? And it says, Chuck Yerlaw, big dirty toy player.
And the queen of Irish wrestling, Katie Harvey.
I won't want to sign just CM
I'm
Punk.
I'm so embarrassed. CM Punk.
It's Low Blows. Bravo!
As if we needed more of a reason to be a bit depressed ahead with a global pandemic, you know, across the world, trending pretty much everything cool that we like and enjoy. The US presidential race last week got a bit worse when Elizabeth Warren was forced to drop out. And Elizabeth Warren, I don't know if you follow...
You're Bernie Sanders, yeah!
I like Bernie Sanders, and I'm totally happy. And look, I hope that this is his running mate if he does get the nod. So, like,
To be honest, I don't even follow American politics, I'm just guessing.
But Elizabeth Sanders would have been so good. It's like the person with all the right answers. I would have wanted to see her against Trump. Like, she had plans for everything. There was no kind of question marks about her. But she was a woman, and she wasn't kind of like a storyline woman. So she just, it was clearly the best candidate for the job. And it's just like, oh, okay, she's gone. And like, even she came out afterwards, and she's like, I don't want to say it's because I was a woman, but like, I'm going to speak about that in the future. So like, clearly she does think about it. And it was just a shame. But like, to get us kicked off here, on another edition of Low Blows, Rick Nash and Corporate Keen in the house for this week. Keen, what were some great ideas in wrestling that just didn't get the support they needed for more traditional options?
I think we have the same idea, right?
Okay.
So I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, and then we say it. Okay. All right? 3, 2, 1.
Courage.
Wrestling Society X.
Oh.
What? Well, as I said Wrestling Society X because I believe in explosions in wrestling. I believe in all these mad stipulations. I believe this is my wrestling. You know what I mean? Not even an hour, half an hour on MTV. So everybody has to fucking hurry their shit. Flip about, just do all your flips in 5 minutes. Get it done, get it over with, and just go fucking crazy. Fucking kill each other with barbed, exploding cages in a tiny little room with like however many fans. So they all die in the explosion. But it's cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love Wrestling Society X, and I'd absolutely watch a second season. Even the roster was amazing. Like, you look, like, Seth Rollins is on that roster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Jack Evans is on that roster. Like, X-Pac, just incredible. All the greats were on that roster. You know what I mean? So, for me...
2/3 of X-Pac were on that roster.
All I needed was Albert, and it was literally the perfect show. I know, like, Lucha Underground is another one, obviously. But Lucha Underground was like... Well, actually, yeah, Lucha Underground was amazing.
Yeah.
I don't have a single criticism of it. But I was thinking about Lucha Underground the other day. Like, in all the wrestling that we have now, there's still a Lucha Underground shaped. There's a Lucha Mass shaped hole in my heart.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, I miss it so much.
That's fair. For me, yeah, Courage is one that like I'm always going to think because I know we knew what the potential there was and the roster they had and the propensity for something completely different. I know, like for example, later on you ended up getting Trinity Brawl, and I know a lot of kind of like we were kind of like that surrealist type of wrestling. was definitely the kind of stuff that we were looking into doing, you know what I mean? And it's very different to what we already have over here. So for me, I would have liked to see more support. With what the lads had promised the venue, though, like, we would have never got the support then. They actually needed to stay in business. They wanted like 500 people there, which just never would have happened. So it's not necessarily people's fault that they didn't support it, because that never would have came to pass as it stands. Guys, as we get kicked off here, you may notice it's just the two of us in here. Want to give a shout out to our co-host, colleague and friend, Katie Harvey. Bit of an unfortunate turn as it happens, because last week at the start of the show we made some jokes, and as it is, like, you know, you just think, oh, that's a joke, I'll just leave it there. And then it ended up becoming quite real as the week went on. I don't know, like, I think she's okay with us saying this. She's been quite open about, like, her health issues in the past. So, unfortunately, yes, Katie has come down with the coronavirus. She's resting up at home now. We'd like to wish her well. Very contagious, very contagious. So, we'd like to wish her well. And I think she'd appreciate, guys, if you all sent her well wishes on Twitter just to say recover well from your coronavirus. We hope to we'll be thinking of you, Katie. You know, what a rough time she's had, though, over the past year. So, we're thinking of you. We're supporting you, Katie. And, like, we'll see how it goes. Anyway, guys, we are also recording this as well, just the way real life worked out this week. We're going to do kind of a different style show this week. We're not going to do our normal hot take, say something stupid, this is awesome, because a lot of the wrestling hasn't happened yet. We're recording this on a Monday, whereas we'd usually record it on a Wednesday, hence it coming out earlier than usual, just because of real life circumstances. But it's such a big week in Irish wrestling, the biggest Irish wrestling week of the year, with Scrappermania coming up this week. We didn't want to not do a show despite Wednesday not being available, so we will be doing a preview of that later. And we're also going to be talking about, in general, kind of the some of the news stories that have grabbed our attention for the week. So we'll start off with Elimination Chamber. Corporate Keen, you were saying you've watched almost all of Elimination Chamber by now, which is impressive. Yeah. For you, like, on, yeah, on a Monday evening.
Literally, yeah, I showed up for college on time, nice and early, and nobody showed up, not even a lecturer. No one, not one person showed up, so I had to sit there for 2 hours. I was like, well, I might as well watch it while I'm here. And yeah, nobody came in then until like 11 or 12. But yeah, so I got until the main event, and just as like the entrances were happening, everybody came in, I was like, oh, great.
Okay, so you know nothing about the main event?
No, nothing.
Okay, so that's kind of awkward if we're going to be doing a review, and the main event is kind of the big talking point, so we'll try dance around this. We'll get talking about the rest of the show, though. Daniel Bryan against Drew Gulak. That bump was terrifying. That German suplex bump on his head. Like, I know with Daniel Bryan, because we've literally seen him retire already, we're always going to be a bit more worried when it comes to stuff like that. But, oh my God, my heart was in my mouth for it. But great match.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah, it's good. Good. It's something different, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was. It was great to see Daniel Bryan getting to actually have. Has he got to have, like, kind of proper matches? Do you know what I mean? Since he came back, like, who's he worked since he came back? Do you remember he was feuding with Big Cass for a while? He got to work Sami
Zayn. Was that since? Oh, man, he's been back a while. I didn't even think of this. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, then he's faced, like, Kofi, and he's faced, like...
He did, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, my brain's gone very blank.
Has he got to have, like, a proper great match since Kofi, though? Can you think of one match that Bryan's got? Like, this was an old-school, proper... This is Ring of Honor, Daniel Bryan.
Oh, he definitely did. There's one or two I'm not thinking of, because I remember being like, Daniel Bryan. I remember just thinking, with like Buddy Murphy and stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, where it was like that's the one thing that I find most entertaining with Daniel Bryan, is that he's not at the top. He's not like in the Roman Reigns Fiend type spot.
Yeah.
So it's like he just kind of goes through the roster and has fun, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, no, he definitely has. I just can't think off the top of my head. Yeah, he had a good match with, like, Reigns. Was it him that faced Mustafa Ali as well?
Oh, that sounds good.
Was that him?
I can't remember.
Yeah, again, like, we're going back a bit. I can't remember. But, like, no, he definitely did. He had a few.
This is one of the better ones, though. I'd be totally up for this as being what Daniel Bryan's... Like, I think that's what we all kind of wanted from Daniel Bryan, where he just got to wrestle good wrestlers and put on great matches. I'm like, okay, we don't need him to be in the championship picture. We don't need him to do anything else. It's like, he's on, like, extra time anyway compared to what he thought it was a few years ago. So, I'm happy just seeing this. Let's talk about the Elimination Chamber, the tag team one. Miz Morrison, of course, walking away from it. There was times in this where it was like... And the same could be said of the other chamber match as well. Don't worry, no spoilers. But like, there were spots in this that were like just borderline reckless. So, and the Lucha House Party as well. Like, while a lot of the stuff they did was really cool, I don't think their strategy was great for the chamber. Like, jumping off and doing like mad shit. Like, who was it? Was Lince Dorado did that thing off the top of the cage.
Yeah.
And then they got eliminated almost like seconds later because Gran Metalik, everyone just realized Gran Metalik, like, he's fucked. So we can just get Gran Metalik now. And then they just destroyed him and he was gone in seconds. Also Otis as well.
That was so cool.
It was.
Sitting there like a fucking, I was like in the, what do you call it? The area at my college where it's like everybody's sitting on couch and stuff. I'm like trying to, I'm trying to conceal my reaction because I don't want to be like on my phone like, oh! You know what I mean? Like, but it, yeah. I was freaking out over that. I thought it was so cool.
It was awesome. Like, what, it just got me thinking the whole time though, like, how are they going to repair that for a match? Like,
oh yeah,
did they have to have someone up like on like a cable at the top of the arena like fixing the door, or did they have to do it like make sure that the video package before the women's one went really long to do it? There you go, when you're doing your rewatch, that can be something that you look out for. Miz Morrison won. Are we happy with that result or is there indifferent?
Yeah, my predictions are fucking solid. Absolutely battered every one of these predictions.
You did alright. You were in like...
Whoa. No, don't tell me.
You did alright. You did good, kid.
As of up until the main event, I was doing really, really well. So, yeah, because I remember like you thought it was... You put Ziggler and Rude as the favourites, which I thought was like...
No,
interesting.
Didn't.
What?
No, I put everyone was... Like, this was a pick'em.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was 5 points no matter who you picked.
I could have sworn Ziggler and Rude were the favourites. And I remember being like, whoa, what?
No, I
thought Miz and Morrison were favourites for me. Because again, like Ziggler, Rude, and then Otis and Tucker have their own thing going on. Mm. But still, you never know, you know, how they're going to mix it and stuff. I was really into this match. Yeah, I thought it was really cool. I loved every second of it.
Elimination Chamber matches, you can't go too wrong.
Yeah, it's like with Elimination Chamber matches on paper, I'm always kind of like, do I really care about it that much? And then once it starts, I'm like, oh. Like, who's going to beat? Like, it's the order that fascinates me. The order of entering, the order of elimination. And, you know, like, who works with who does what dive, and who costs who. I'm like, there's, especially with the tag teams, I find there's more to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a lot. It opens up a whole number of possibilities there. They only did the first tag team one, like, within the last couple of years, am I right?
I think this is only the second one,
So it's like, there's still loads of things they can do with it.
Yeah.
Such as, you know, someone smashing through the chamber and out of the actual chamber. Which I think Michael, was it Michael Cole or somebody on commentary saying, like, in, you know, over a decade, like, what, 15 years? Over 15 years of Elimination Chambers? Yeah. I've never seen that. Because
yeah.
The structure, unlike a cage match, for example, like even Hell in a Cell, this is the one structure in wrestling that feels indestructible. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine anybody smashing through, like, the chamber. But it happened, and it was fucking cool. And it wasn't even, like, last year's one where it was, like, it was really hot. It looked kind of plastic. Remember they did, like, the one there, the year Bray Wyatt won the title.
Yes, they switched it up,
It's a real shit, like, plastic-looking one. Whereas this was, like, back to the more kind of, like, sinister, dark chains, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That was really
cool. Aleister Black defeated AJ Styles. Of course, The Undertaker came out. What were your thoughts on this?
I was disappointed in one thing, right? Because somebody made a great suggestion as I was going to bed last night, I saw it on Twitter. What if this is the match where they plant the seeds for Black versus Undertaker? Mm. And that Styles was just kind of like a... I don't know what you'd call it, like a swerve, you know what I mean? But no, we're getting Styles on it, which is fine as well. But I mean, I'd like to see Black kick the shit out of Undertaker.
I would, yeah, when you say it that way as well, do you know what I would have liked? Because the problem with this was, like, it was really good. Like for the record, I just want to say, the match was really good.
I really enjoyed it as well.
I even like the Undertaker part, the crowd were absolutely, like, went crazy for this. So, when you get a hot crowd, it almost doesn't matter what's happening, because, especially in WWE, it is a novelty when you hear a crowd go that mental that quickly. But for me, yeah, it was like the OC, like, yeah, Gallows and Anderson beating the shit out of Black, and then the bong went off, and then the lights went out, and then it came back, and Undertaker had them on the ground choking them, turned around into the phenomenal, caught Styles doing a phenomenal forearm, chokeslam to him, and then disappeared. Black hit the Black Mask. That was the end of it. What I would have liked to see was some acknowledgement between the two of them, because they are quite similar characters. It's just there. Black is the, like, he's almost a, like, between him and Bray, they're like competing for the new Undertaker status, do you know what I mean? And they kind of have the different elements covered between the two of them. Bray's the supernatural and Black is kind of the badass, the big kind of gothic badass type. So, like, I would have liked to see even a nod, but Black just seemed to disappear for that. Do you know what I mean? Like, literally, what did Undertaker do? Like, even in kayfabe, like, did he just kick Black out of the way? Did he just roll him with his foot? Can he see in the dark? I just had questions. Also, Styles' bump for the Black Mass, he did an inside-out bump. It was fucking awesome. That's a kick to the face. Like, any other person would be like, there's only one way you bump for a kick to the face. You fall backwards. Like, Styles goes inside out and ends up with his feet, with his head at Black's feet. Like, it was absolutely beautiful. Go back and watch it if you didn't notice it the first time. Sami Zayn winning his first ever WWE champion. Is this true? Was he not? Did he not win any belts in NXT?
Yeah, he was NXT champion.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But so it's just his first main roster belt.
Yeah, but he's also, his NXT title run was shit. Like, he got his head kicked in by Kevin Owens, and that was it.
Oh, yeah, it was just the one. Yeah, he won it. Owens turned on him straight after the match.
Yeah.
Yes, and then he beat Pac for it. I remember that. That was really good. The feud of Pac was excellent. But, yeah, no, you're right. So, like, his first main roster title, beating Braun Strowman. This got me into this feud. Like, the way they set it up, even before the match, Zayn coming out and then saying beforehand, he's like, you know what, 3 months, Braun's never got his hands on me. And I'm like, I swear to God that that's not right, but I can't think of one time. And I'm like, holy shit, you've been doing long-term booking behind my back. and then the whole, like, I'm going to go one-on-one. The way they kind of pivoted here to make Sami Zayn versus Braun Strowman the main feud, I'm really into this. And, like, now I want to see a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. Like, is that just me? Am I just kind of getting swept up in the moment? I thought that was really cool.
Maybe. Like, I don't want to kill the hype, but I skip through this. Like, I don't really care.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I don't get, like, anytime I see, like, handicap matches for titles or shit like that, I'm out. Like, I don't really...
Okay.
Just not into it.
But did you not, like, find that when they actually did something with this? Like, they made that,
like,
a part of it?
Yeah, I skipped to the end of it, and the end of it was really entertaining. Like, but I'm not overly into it, you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like, it's still... No chemistry between those individuals, you know what I mean? That's not, no team name, matching gear.
Even the way, like, yeah, I actually thought of you and your chemistry theory beforehand. They did Cesaro's entrance, but then they did Nakamura's entrance with Zayn doing that. It was like, that's really clunky, lads. Like, why not just come out together? Like, the three is just come out together. Like, or do three separate entrances. Like, one or the other. Don't mix it up, like, and you're stable. So... Right, we're at the main event, which Corbin Keane hasn't seen. Corbin Keane, allergic to spoilers, so I won't spoil it, okay?
Ew.
So, what we'll do, I think, here is, right, we do need to talk about it, because it is, like, notable, and it is the talking point from the pay-per-view. I don't think it's... So, what I'll try to do is, I'll give my thoughts on the reaction without mentioning any spots, or who won, or results, or anything like that. Anything, I won't refer to anything that happened in the match. But I'll just talk about, like, my reaction to the reaction, if that makes sense. And then, Corporate Keen, if you want, what you can do is you can tell me what you think happened based on it. I won't confirm or deny, but by the time people listen to this, they'll have all seen it, and they'll know if you got it right or wrong and how it did. I don't think that I'm saying anything too spoilery by saying that a WWE pay-per-view main event had a lot of people talking both positively and negatively, because that happens at every WWE pay-per-view main event. Is that okay? Are we safe?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people talking here, okay? For me, like, if I was to tell you this, what happened, I think you'd think it's great on paper. It was different to experience it during the match. But I also think it was worthwhile doing this. It was a different course. I don't know, like, I think we all kind of had one thing in mind, as in, this is what we're going to see. It was a different course of action to what we maybe expected, but I don't mind it, because not every match needs to be the same, if that makes sense. Do you know what I mean? Not every, especially when you're talking stip matches, and especially when you already have one mental elimination chamber match, not every match has to be the same. And the way they went with this being different, I think in the long run, when you consider that it's to face Becky at WrestleMania and to get where you need to get to put whatever the match is in motion, I think that the temporary kind of making this like kind of not as spectacular or noteworthy as other Elimination Chamber matches is more effective. Have I ruined everything on you?
It sounds to me like Shayna just wiped the floor with everyone.
I will neither confirm nor deny any of that.
All right.
Okay.
Kind of like Lesnar at the Rumble, but without the McIntyre payoff.
I'm not.
That's what it sounds like. But the fact that I'm not 100% sure means you know, it's not spoiled on me.
Liv Morgan still could have won. Sarah Logan could have pulled out the big upset W.
I was thinking Natalya in my own head, but you know that works.
I will neither confirm nor deny. All right,
cool.
Asuka was in the match as well.
She was there.
She's long history with Becky Lynch.
You never know. Maybe Shotzi Blackheart cashed in.
Yeah, cashed in something that we weren't previously aware of.
Exactly.
But
you know, I mean, that's the fun of it.
There's any? Yeah. Okay. So fair enough. Right. So we'll leave it there. Okay. I'm into what happened. But I understand if a lot of people aren't. So we'll leave it there. Let's talk about the stuff that we can talk about. Let's talk about, did you see AEW Jake the Snake Roberts showed up last week?
Yeah, I saw it.
Thoughts on Jake the Snake in AEW? A lot of people are expressing concern about it. Obviously, he's, you know, I saw a good tweet where it's like, nobody in the past 20 years who's booked Jake the Snake Roberts has had like a positive memory to tell about it. But obviously he's clean now. This is a new Jake the Snake Roberts. He's worked with DDP, who also works with AEW. That's a sponsor, so we'd hope for the best. What did you think of both his performance in the ring, the thought of him in the future, and also the fact that Jake Roberts is now going to be a regular on a major US promotion again?
It's grand, yeah. Like, he's not from my era, you know what I mean? So, like, I respect him and all, don't get me wrong, but it's not something I'd, you know, go crazy over personally. It's cool seeing him healthy and all that. I did love his line about, you should never turn your back on someone you fear or respect. And he just turns his back like, I'm well going to steal that before getting hopped on in the kind of. But it'll make me look cool for a few seconds, you know what I mean? So yeah, that was good.
I'd love to see you try pull that off the gang of little scroats. Lads, you should never... Just never turn your back on anyone you respect or fear. See you later. No, please don't!
It was a joke. It was a prank.
Who do you want to see? It looks like he's going to manage someone. I don't think him and Cody are wrestling at the next pay-per-view. Who do you think and who do you want to see?
What, like Jake Snake manage?
Yeah. It looks like this is setting up a debut.
I assumed it was Lance Archer, was it not?
Yeah, I think so. Like he did tweet out a thing with a snake the day after. So.
Oh. what's Chris Sabin at these days?
Chris Sabin?
Not that it'd be him, I'm just really curious. Popped in my head.
I do regularly think about Chris Sabin.
He was literally like one of my favourite wrestlers at one point. Like genuinely like top tier for me.
He was in the Best of Super Juniors a couple of years ago. He had like a little revival tour.
Yeah, what's he doing now? Because you know Alex Shelley's still around. Like, he's in Ring of Honor and stuff.
He was on NXT a few weeks ago.
Chris Sabin?
No, Alex Shelley.
No, I know. He's still around. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But where is Sabin, though?
Just chilling. Just Cleveland. Yeah. I don't even know if he's from Cleveland. He just seems like he's from Cleveland.
Fair enough.
Like, if you had to pick somewhere Chris Sabin is from.
Well, it's Michigan, because Motor City Machine Guns.
Oh, that makes sense. That's a very good point. But isn't that like the same as to an Irish? To dubs. They're pretty much the same. What's the difference between Michigan and Cleveland?
Cleveland's in Ohio.
Yeah, but what's the difference? Like, in terms of... How do you materially say that? So New York, LA, East Coast, West Coast. You have the bustling life in New York. Like, you can't drive anywhere. In LA, you have to drive anywhere.
Well, right.
What's the difference between Michigan and Cleveland?
Ohio and Michigan is like... That's like saying, Dublin and Kildare. What's the difference? You know what I mean? There's quite a difference. I don't have a side each other. But, I mean, you wouldn't call Justy a dub, like, you know what I mean?
I agree, but I can't see any difference, like, from my vantage point. Like, I'm a dub, like, I can say that there's a massive difference between dubs and Kildare, like,
because... Well, it's like that, but with, like, an American flag.
Yeah, but like we
like Cincinnati, Ohio is like nice.
It's nice. What, like they have sex with their cousins?
Hey, nice alone, man.
No, from Irish, we really like nice. I was in nice last week. I don't think it's Chris Sabin.
No. I mean, who else could be? Luke Harper? I don't know.
That's the only other one they have potentially.
When's his? Well, he had like a 90-day. No, did he have a 90-day? No fighting clause. Why can't I remember the name of that?
No compete
clause. There we go.
No fighting. I mean, this is no fighting. I think he's good to go. I think Harper, Archer, and by the looks of things, Matt Hardy.
Oh yeah, because Hardy, his contract expired. He wasn't like really. He wasn't.
Yeah, so he's like Dean Ambrose, and he can do whatever the fuck he wants from today.
Yeah, he could be the exalted one or whatever. I don't know.
I think they're making it a bit too obvious now with all the memes they're doing. Did you see the thing they put out? Now, don't get me wrong, it is cool. Like they put out a poem yesterday, but like the first line, the first letter of every line spelled out Matt Hardy.
That's only cool if he's doing his House of Hardy shit. That for some reason they never did in WWE. I know they tried it once, but it wasn't really that good.
I think he has to. He absolutely is.
That's the one thing. I just can't believe WWE didn't do that. Because it's not even like... It's not even... You think WWE of all people with their production values and everything at their disposable... At their disposal. That they'd be, you know... They do the best one, you know what I mean? Like I was really optimistic. It wasn't like you're not telling Matt Hardy to go jump off a ladder or do any crazy shit. Just have some fun with really, really HD cameras, you know what I mean? But I think if they do that in AEW, that's a big win for AEW. But I'm looking forward. I'm cautiously optimistic because I don't know if AEW will definitely even do that.
I think like they have to because I think the Exalted One is the way their get around. That is the blood and guts to their war games when it comes to Matt Hardy because I don't think they can use the broken stuff. Or can they? Does he own the broken trademarks now? Or did WWE take that over? How'd that
or
work?
Did Impact own it or something like that?
Because do you remember there was a... but then they released it and then he was allowed to say he was broken. Do you remember when Impact got bought by the Fight Network and they were like, oh no, we're not going to... Like the Fight Network, we're trying to like just rebuild Impact and like rebuild a lot of the goodwill. So they just gave up in that lawsuit. I think he is the right, so I don't know if WWE have.
I've no idea.
But I think they are. They have to be. Like, if they're putting him with Dark Order, they're not going to just have him be like, doony, doony, doony. And he's like, I'm going to jump off ladders, man. Like, he's doing the broken stuff.
And also, they've done, like, if you look at the Dark Order, like, videos they've done in the past where, like, they, the one where they all, like, rub that lad's face in the forest and stuff like that. But it was shot in a very, like, Final Deletion type way, you know what I mean? Like, even when Alex Reynolds and John Silver, I think it is, that got brainwashed in their hotel room with a TV telling them, like, you know, are you tired? Or, well, I forget what it was he said to him, where it's like, are you tired of this or something like that?
Yeah.
You want to join the Dark Order? But the way that was all filmed was very kind of cinematic, you know what I mean? So it's possible. It is possible that that's where they go with it, and I'd be happy with it.
I haven't been mad into Dark Order so far, but I think they could win me back with this. If they just completely go left. Like, I can't get into Evil Uno as, like, this, like, evil mastermind type.
Yeah, it's different for me. I saw him at, you know, the Ringside Club. That kind of ruined the mystique a bit, you know what I mean? He was just there, and there he had to beat the fuck out of him, so...
It's like seeing the Fiend, like, in, like, Germany GAA, huh?
Yeah, it's like, some of the aura might be a bit lost, you know, for me, I don't know.
His voice as well is weird. Like, the way he's not... He hasn't got, like, kind of that... The voice that suits it. Like, Bray Wyatt speaks like a cult leader. I'm gonna do this.
But also... Like, Bray Wyatt and the Fiend, it's like, if you don't find it scary, at least you can say, ah, that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Like, the Dark Order aren't cool.
No.
So they're relying on being scary, but they're not scary either. Yeah. So it's like...
Like, Stu Grayson is not intimidating. Like, his little Tarzan pants.
See, like, I wouldn't mind if Stu Grayson was, like, one of them. And it probably will. As time goes on, he'll probably get demoted to being, like, you know, a henchman or something. That's fine. He fits into that role. But as a leader, I don't buy Evil Uno or Stu Grayson.
Yeah, like, why would people follow this mid-card tag team? Do you know what I mean? It's like if the Mean Street Posse, like, started a cult. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I don't know, I'm not feeling it. But if they go left and make it a big mental Matt Hardy Final Deletion style thing, then yeah, okay, I'll give them another chance. NXT UK take over the build to the show in Dublin is on the way. A lot of people got their tickets now. Some people got tickets to Alanis Morissette on top of it, so that's just a little bonus and quite ironic too. Finn Balor versus Walter seems a lot of people talking about that being the main event after what they set up. We spoke about it last week. They set up on NXT now, and it's looking good. And it would make sense as a main event. It's a fresh match. It's not just giving us a rehash of Jordan Devlin against Walter, which we've seen more than enough over here. And last week we were talking about, you're probably not going to make it better. Now Finn Balor started to show up on NXT UK. To be honest, and I'm not going to get into spoilers, I don't know what he's done. I just know that he was there. Is that a sign that we're going to be getting it? Because a lot of people's concerns that I'm talking to is that they're going to do it at Tampa and then we're going to get a rematch from it. Will that spoil it if that's where they go, or should they just keep it as an NXT UK storyline? What are you hoping for here?
Oh, I'm hoping that we get the first. Yeah. And I don't know. Like, I want Finn Balor to win the title. I know that probably wouldn't happen, but I'd be really cool. Like, if Finn Balor won it in the Tree Arena, yeah, I know, it's going to be really cool.
It'd be deadly, yeah. But, like, is that a massive demotion for Balor then?
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, you could argue he's elevating it or whatever. I don't know. I think if he, yeah, you see, if it's a rematch, my only thing is then, like, what? Balor then wins it in America and Walter wins it over here. You know what I mean? It's a very obvious kind of trajectory. Is that the word?
That's a very good word for that. Ooh. Yeah, there you go. Ooh. Nailing the word.
Not a word. Fucking thick word. but yeah, it's... but if it's a one-time thing over here, Walter is the favorite, but are they just going to have Walter beat Balor and that's that? You know, you never know. Like, yeah. You know, it's... It's interesting, probably, but still, it'd be interesting.
We shall see, and we'll keep on top of that. Last bit of news this week, David Starr. Well, of course, it was 16 carat last week, and we'll be talking about that as it kind of comes out on VOD over the next few weeks, because obviously we weren't there, we didn't get a chance to see it. But the big news coming from that is that David Starr lost a Loser Leaves Town match, and then had to leave WXW. He's, of course, had to leave Progress as well recently. And the rumour has been that that's linked to the fact that these are both WWE feeder systems now. Starr pretty much confirmed that by saying that, you know, freedom of speech does not mean freedom of consequence in a post-match promo. He's been very vocal about it on Twitter. He put out a tweet just before, as I was on my way here, he put out a tweet about it as well, where he's like, he's not coming out and saying that WWE said I couldn't work here. I wonder why, because he doesn't seem to back down from those kind of things. But it certainly seems that way, that he's on the WWE shit list. A lot of people are very angry about this, and they're like, this is what's wrong with WWE on it. How do you feel about this? David Starr kind of getting a bit blacklisted from the big indie, super indie scene.
It is kind of funny if that is what happened, because it's like WWE are taking him off their shows and then saying, well, you can use our lads. Well, actually, you can't because you need them. So it's like, what is the point in WXW or Progress? You know what I mean? Like, why? Like, what's the point in them doing their thing with WWE? It's something like we've kind of gone over a good bit.
Yeah.
So I don't want to keep like rehashing the same points, but they're just, I don't really care, because I don't watch either of these promotions anymore. They've lost their kind of, you know, shine for me. Like I briefly watched them, what do you call it, WXW, when I thought that like Courage would bring in a load of their lads, and I wanted to know who they were. but I enjoyed it when I watched it, and I used to watch Progress. And Progress was unfucking real at one point. Like, it was Havoc and Ospreay doing their thing. But now it's like, and I remember somebody made a great point. I mean, this is a spoiler for those of you who care about WXW spoilers, but apparently Alexander Wolfe won their mid-card title, and it got this like massive pop. And somebody made the point about feeling disconnected about how this like relatively boring NXT UK wrestler gets this monster pop, you know, in Germany. And it's like, that's where I'd feel, you know what I mean? I don't, like, it's because it's hard to kind of make a big deal about these WWE lads, because like in ICW now, Noam Dar is ICW champion. He beat Stevie Boy, and it's kind of like, but I remember like when Noam Dar first got signed, him coming back was a big fucking deal. Whereas now it's like, all right, it's just an ICW lad wrestling on an ICW show, except now you can't bring in David Starr or, you know, whoever WWE don't like. And he might get pulled if WWE have a minor house show they want him on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't really understand the point. It's interesting. It is interesting. That's why he's genuinely, if that's why he's not on these shows.
Do you feel for Starr, like, at this stage, like, with what he said? Because for me, here's my take on it. And look, I've been, like, I have a lot of feelings on David Starr, and we'll talk about that. Like, we're getting into our OTT preview now, and we'll talk about that as we go on. Like, a lot of good. I think he's super talented. Like, again, like, what he's done with the OTT crowd and how he's turned it into a whole new thing. He's kept OTT relevant. His promo skills are absolutely amazing. He is an amazingly talented wrestler. I do look at a lot of what he's doing on the indies with cynicism. I'm one of those who's like, if WWE offered him enough money, I don't know if he'd still be as moral. But who knows? Like, we'll probably never know that. For me as well, though, like, I disconnect with a lot of the outrage towards WWE here. And I do in general, like, I feel like people kind of overegg it and just look to say that everything WWE does is shit and everything everyone else does is great. I feel that that's an easy default stance to have. For me, like, if someone came out and was shitting on, say, OTT, like, publicly going, OTT are horrible for the business, they need to go away, and then OTT had a chance to, you know, cost that person bookings or stuff, I don't think people would be mad. I don't think there'd be this moral uproar that there is for David Starr now. He has been vocally attacking WWE very publicly, and he's gone in on them. Like, and like, I'm not even saying that I disagree with his stances. I'm not saying that he's wrong for doing so. He's right to do so, but I just got, like, it, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. This is what happens then. You don't get to work with the companies that you slate. Like, that's just common sense.
Yeah, but the difference is WWE are trying to gobble up the scene. You know what I mean? Whereas you look at OTT, so you can't say the same thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's the OTT's good and people like it. You know what I mean? So if people slate OTT, yeah, exactly. That's it. WWE bad, OTT.
But they're
good.
They're the underdogs. Like, it's completely irrelevant to the substance of the point and the actual, like, you know, what's happening here. Like, they're good because they're the underdogs. They're the little guys. They're the indie guys. They're the guys who do it for love, man. And, like, that's a very easy point to make. Like, it's a very easy kind of way to get goodwill and stuff like that. And I'm not saying they're wrong. Again, I'm not arguing with that. But, like, it's not actually dealing with the substance of the point and whether something is in fact right or wrong. It's dealing with, I like you, therefore everything you do is good. I dislike you, therefore everything you do is bad. Whereas, like, I'm trying to look at it objectively here, and I'm like, you know, you like, again, Starr, again, and I don't even disagree with a lot of what he said. I agree with many things that he's, many points he's made. But if you go in on the biggest company, they're going to not want to work with you. Like,
so what you're saying is, he should stay silent on his views if he wants to work with WXW or Progress.
No, but he's like, he, well, yeah, like, it's, yeah, if I want to work for a company, like, if considering the real world, if I want to work with Buskers, like, if I want to run the WrestleMania party in Buskers, and I went out and started, like, tweeting about, like, their customer service was disgraceful, they didn't, their burger was undercooked, like, yeah, that's the way the world works, like.
But this is why people are a bit upset, because he should be allowed to talk shit about WWE and work for WXW and work for Progress, but because of WWE taking over these companies, he can't.
But they have taken over. That's the
but
reality.
That's what a lot of people take issue with. You know what I mean?
But it happened. It's the way of the world. Like, big companies swallow the little companies. Don't be pissed off at be pissed off at WXW and Progress.
Yeah, people are. That's what I'm saying.
They should. Like, that's fine. But, like, it's like, there's people who are there, like, spending money going to 16 Carat, like saving up all year to go to a WXW show and then saying, WWE are bastards. And it's like, well, no, this happened because WXW agreed to be taken over by WWE, got their demands, and they were good little boys and went along with what Vince McMahon said to them. Like,
yeah.
So, like, again, you can't have it both ways. You have to kind of, objectively, you have to be in the middle. Like, but yeah, that's the way it is. It's like, if I want to work with someone or if I want to do something, you have to think about your career and your professional life strategically. Like, what do you gain from being mad, an edgelord on Twitter? Like, and then slating different companies. Like, fair enough, yeah, okay, he wants to make change. Fair enough, I agree with that, I accept that, and I respect what he's doing, and if he means it, and if he follows through on it, and is successful, I will have endless respect for him. But at the same time, he's like, this is a consequence of those actions. That's, he decided that I'm going to fucking slate this company online. And it's like, well, yeah, now you can't work for places that, like, that's the way the world goes. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you turn around and just decided, I hate fucking Phoenix Wrestling now. I've got beef with Phoenix Wrestling. Right. And then you started like slating everything they did online. You started going on Twitter and running into them. And then you turned around and you're like, what bastards? I'm not allowed to commentate for Phoenix Wrestling anymore. It's like, well, yeah, I would have thought you would have figured that is a possibility. Or it's like, I'm not like, there's guys who work in Phoenix Wrestling and are involved in another promotion. And now I'm not allowed to work there. Well, yeah, that's, now you've learned a life lesson.
No, so what you're saying, do you think it's good that Starr can't speak his mind then?
He can. Nothing's stopping him from speaking his mind. He the just can't work for WWE affiliated promotions anymore. I'm not, I sympathize with him because this is affecting his income and his earnings. Like, and I hope he hasn't, consider that the guy's 29. He's shockingly young. So I hope that his attempts to kind of make a difference on Twitter haven't led him down a naive path that'll hurt his career path, because he's a very talented guy who deserves to earn as much money as, for what he's done, anyone in the wrestling business. Do you know what I mean? I'm not slating Starr here. Like, it's not a black and white point. I have a lot of respect for Starr. So I hope he's not a young guy who's just been naive and fucked his career up because he wanted to be a Twitter edgelord. But these are consequences. There's lessons to be learned here by Starr not being able to work now. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of people can look at that and go, oh, that's why I don't do what David Starr does in Slate WWE, because I don't get to work in great places anymore. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm a young wrestler, I'm looking at that and going, it's fun to watch David Starr. I might give him an old sneaky like every now and then, but, like, I don't want to be him because I want to earn money and I want to make a living for myself and I want to do this as my job. Like, if you're a young wrestler, I think David Starr isn't a great person to learn off it. Like, in that sense, in the political way that he handles his business, if that makes sense. Like, learn from in terms of promos and in-ring work all day. Like, Jesus, there's almost no one better on the planet right now. But yeah, that's just my take. I don't know. Maybe. Am I missing something, Mike?
I don't know. There's a lot there.
Yeah, there is. Sorry,
I wasn't ready to respond.
It's a meaty subject. There's a lot to it, and I don't even feel black or white about it. So, like, I don't have a hard stance one way or another, which is inconvenient.
In OTT, I'll never be part of the Starr cult, for lack of a better term. But outside of OTT, yeah, fully back Starr all the way. Like, every promotion that's not OTT, Starr is the fucking man. So, yeah. Big fan.
it's a costly business being class at Twitter, though, unfortunately for him. Let's talk about something, though, where Starr is allowed work, and he's allowed work and do whatever he wants, and we are the benefactors of that. He's going to main event OTT Scrapper Mania 6 this Saturday, National Stadium. I don't know why I'm plugging it, because it sold out a couple of weeks ago. Tickets, you cannot get them anymore, but we want to talk about it, so we're going to give our thoughts on the matches, the build, everything around it, and give our predictions. And guys, keep in mind as well, if you want to play along, if you want to try and catch me in the prediction league, I had another bad week with Elimination Chamber, so guys, like, it's within touching distance now. If you want to catch me at the top of the Low Blows prediction league, you are more than welcome. Get onto our Facebook and play along. It'll be online from this Thursday. We want your Scrapper Mania picks. We're gonna go through the full card as announced so far, and keep in mind we're recording this on a Monday. We'll start off with a match that was, have you seen the new match they've announced as of today? You might have been avoiding
spoilers. No, I haven't.
They've announced a new match, okay? You ready for this?
I have Team OTT.
So Team OTT against Team Not OTT. The Not OTT team are Speedball, OJMO, Eddie Kingston is back again, and also Black Taurus. I don't know Black Taurus.
He was on Impact recently. Yeah, he's really good.
Okay, cool. I look forward to seeing him against Team OTT. Is it like a sheep, I'm guessing?
What?
Is it like a sheep?
No, it's a bull.
A bull. Sorry, Taurus. Yeah, sorry.
That would be really random.
I was thinking of a ram. Like fucking...
Like a lamb.
Luke Harper had a sheep mask.
No, but that wasn't what he wore, like, when he wrestled. You know what I mean? Like, that was, like, little...
I just thought he was taking it to the next extreme level. The team OTT are Paddy M, Terry Thatcher, Sean Guinness, and a mystery opponent. It's a regular one-fall, eight-man tag. And then it's one of those matches. They did this before in the stadium, and it was really good, where the winning team immediately turn on each other. It's one-fall to a finish, and the winning person...
Oh, what the fuck? Whoa, I didn't see that part.
Do you not know that? Yeah.
Wait, so they're doing a golden contract match?
Yeah, it becomes a four-way, and then the winner gets a title.
Oh
yeah,
world title, or it's the briefcase again, is it?
Yeah, I'm guessing so.
Oh, that's a good one.
So, first question: who's the mystery opponent? Are we going to get Justy booked?
Oh,
team OTT. So it's someone OTT related.
Well, I was thinking B Kill, but I think that's actually. Oh yeah, because this realistically this is the opener.
Yeah, B Kill's
so
got a match.
No, you see, the only way it could be B Kill is if his match was on earlier,
yeah,
and then he came out and was like, ah, I'm doing this, and then he gets the briefcase, and oh my god,
that'd be amazing. Please.
No, I don't think it'll be that.
Let's not get our hopes up. So, who's available? Right, Justy is one. And by the way, like, I don't know if you had a chance to check, but he is beating Will Ospreay in the Engo.
Oh,
poll.
Nice. He's my pick to win it.
Yeah, which you all want to see. People, it may even be over by the time people listen to this, but he is winning and there is very little time left. So it's Justy. Sammy D is someone that isn't on the card.
Yeah, he did that promo at Contender. But was there a Contender since then?
He hasn't done anything since then. I think he won one match. He's also injured, though. So there's because remember he couldn't wrestle Fabio at a Fight Factory, so he is injured, so I don't know if he'll be there in time. So it's got to be just, are we missing Paul Tracy? Is someone?
It wouldn't be Adam Max because he's already got a title. I'm just looking here. Captain Sexy. They tend to pop up in these sorts of matches all the time.
Yeah, that'd be great.
The Big Rab.
Oh yeah, it could be someone who hasn't debuted yet. Big Rab would be class. Justin Daniels has wrestled in OTT.
But
I don't think he's going to get. See, here's the thing: it has to be someone. It's a mystery, so it has to be someone who's going to get a pop.
The Kings aren't on the show,
so you could.
Callum Black.
Callum Black, is he not in the match? No, he's not. Callum Black.
That has to be the answer. Then.
Yeah, there you go. It's Callum Black.
All right,
do you know what I think?
I think it'll be Captain Sexy or Justy, but Callum Black will come beat the shit out of him and take their spot.
That's my prediction now. That's a good
show. He's way too relevant right now to not be on the card in some capacity.
Yeah.
Or he interferes in Scotty O'Mary.
Yeah, exactly. Would you not announce Callum Black, though? Like, is he big enough to be, like...
But that's what I'm saying. Somebody takes a spot and he takes it back. You know what I mean?
I'm into that. Okay. So...
Team OTT. Well, if... Callum Black.
See, who gets a title shot? Okay, if it's not Team OTT, it has to be Team OTT. Speedball's already had one. OJMO is more in the Scotty and O'Mari kind of in that picture.
I wouldn't rule out OJMO. I wouldn't rule out OJMO and Eddie Kingston are regulars, I think. I don't know if
Eddie Kingston is a regular, but didn't he team at Star?
Eddie Kingston the Star, yeah.
They've got
they could do a storyline with that.
They could.
They could do Eddie Kingston. Oh, that'd be so cool.
Do you think it's... No, I don't know. Like, I think... With Star, you have to put him against someone properly established. Like, Eddie Kingston is Eddie Kingston. I think, you're one of the few who, like, have him on that pedestal. Whereas he's just another good import that people, like, are kind of middling on for everyone else. I don't know.
See, the thing is, how do you cash it in without definitely winning? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And could I imagine... You see, realistically, I think Paddy M is going to get it.
He already has a title shot, doesn't he? Are they just doing this to remind us that Paddy M has a title shot? Because they think
your chances of winning increase if you get the title shot with a briefcase. You know what I mean?
He has two then.
Well, but even if it's still just one, it's one on his own terms whenever he wants. You know what I mean?
See, I've been calling for David Starr, Terry Thatcher for a long time. I think that's a great match.
I don't see Terry Thatcher getting the briefcase at all.
Oh, I'd love it. Oh, I'm picking Terry
Thatcher. It would be Terry Thatcher. What it would be is Terry Thatcher. You see, Terry Thatcher's sort of... If Terry Thatcher wins it, he'll say, like, I want... I feel like he'd be the sort of wrestler that would do it in advance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, the way the nerds do it, where they're like, I'm going to do this the honorable way.
You call Terry Thatcher a nerd? He listens, man.
Well, you know,
he's a friend of the show. Jesus.
Well, you know when wrestlers do the whole, like, I'm going to put this... I'm gonna tell. When Rob Van Dam did it, I suppose it was kind of cool. He was like, "I'm doing this the ECW one night stand." But the logic behind it is really nerdy. It's like, "I'm gonna do this the honorable way." But I can't imagine Terry Thatcher doing that. Like, it would make sense. But then he got cashed in on before. But then he'd be like, that was very mean, and that didn't feel nice. So I'm not gonna do it to you, or would he do it because it happened to him? Either way, I think Callum Black is the clear favorite if he's the mystery.
Okay. Callum Black against David Starr.
Yeah, and then Scotty costs him.
Okay.
Like, if he costs Scotty...
Is that how you get Scotty back in the mix and then you put him and Starr on a collision course?
Oh, you never know.
Because like, you do need to write, like, that is a match that's going to happen. Scotty is, like, if you're putting bets on it, you're putting Scotty and Be Cool are, like, red-hot favourites to take the belt off Starr. And then everyone else is like, you know, fodder. So that's a way of getting Scotty back in the mix. Because I know they have history, and I know it's relevant, but it's not necessarily you can just announce a match. You do need something to happen to get Scotty back in that mix. And that could be a way of doing it, if Callum does it.
Yeah, well, I'm going with Team OTT regardless. I don't think...
Sean Guinness?
I don't think Sean Guinness is getting it.
Yeah.
I can't... It just wouldn't make sense right now, because you know what I mean? Like, he's... Yeah. Because Starr is supposed to be the heel, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, who do you cheer in that scenario?
Yeah, it'd be weird.
Paddy M. I think... is Paddy M the favourite? No, I think Callum Black's the favourite. Even though he's not even announced. I'm going to go Callum Black to win. Team OTT to win, then Callum Black to win.
Okay, interesting. I'm picking Terry Thatcher. Right, okay, let's do this. CT Flexor and the Woke Queens, they're back together. Team up against the six-man tag against the team of Tony Storm, Dan Barry, and if she recovers from coronavirus on time, Katie Harvey.
Oh. What you call it? The thing is chemistry, right? That's the key. You've got fucking CT. You say CT Flexor and the Woke Queens. It's not. It's all three members of the Woke Queens, right? They're a team. They're a family. But then you look at like Katie Harvey, Dan Barry, and Tony Storm. If she even shows up, it's three individuals. It's three individuals. And you look at like CT Flexor would die for Debbie Guytel, right? CT Flexor would die for Valkyrie. Would Tony Storm die for Katie Harvey? Does Tony Storm know who Katie Harvey is? Like, that's.
They're friends, like. I think they were texting there the other day. Like.
We're gonna have to wait and see. For me, my money would be on the Woke Queens getting the win here. I just feel more confident in their ability as a team.
The chemistry, yeah.
The chemistry is the difference maker.
It's a strong, yeah.
And CT Flex is a fucking beast as well. So
who takes the pin?
Hopefully, Katie. No, you know what? Hopefully, Tony Storm. You know, I might not like Katie, but at least she's there at a, you know, almost every show. No shows, some shows.
She'd be on every show if they let her.
But
she's off her break. Like.
And I love Dan Barry, so I don't want to see him get pinned. So right. I hope Tony Storm gets pinned by CD Flexer. No, I don't know. I don't mind.
Go Debbie Keitel.
Debbie, Valkyrie, whichever.
I think Debbie getting the pin here would be cool because like Valkyrie's got stuff going on now,
yeah,
as you know.
Yeah.
CT, I'm not too sure like on how that would work. I think CT's only gonna pin Dan Barry. I don't think we necessarily want to see that, and I think people like...
Oh, I think we could get CT Flexor pinning Dan Barry now. Now that you say it out loud, I'm like...
But people, here's the thing, people are coming around now to the Woke Queens. They're liking them again. So I think you're just going to piss people off by having that visual there.
Nobody'd be pissed off with CT Flexor getting that pin.
I don't know, man.
No,
Dan Barry,
but not a single
Dan Barry's
soul.
Love, man.
Yeah, but CT Flexor's loved, so...
So yeah, you're just like setting up a conflict where you don't want it. So I think if you have... if you have Debbie, say, maybe pin... Again,
Debbie pinning Tony Storm. Yeah,
like, it gives Debbie something. It gives Debbie something where, like, she needs... I don't think she's got a big stadium win. And I think she's long overdue. So we'll go that one. This is the match I'm here for. This is, like, apart from the main event... Well, no, I'm here for this more than the main event. I'm going to be straight up. Joe and Be Cool against the True Pros. It's almost like, what can they do here? Like, do they have a video like the Angel Cruiser used to?
There
has
to
be something like, how do they do this? Do they have like, Does Be Cool do the whole, like, pre... Like, he's going to do a promo beforehand. Do you know what I mean? He has to do that.
Oh, man, I'm but so does, excited.
Does Joe come out with him in that? Or, like, how does that work? Does
what
Joe
I'd pull love, back? Right, is, like, Joe comes out, but he doesn't have, like, Luther Ward's theme song or, like, whatever. He comes out on his own, but it's just, like... Joe on the Titantron with no music. not even generic car music.
It's just Microsoft Sam. Joe.
Yeah.
Joe.
He comes.
Joe.
Or really cool wrestle teams. Joe. Joe.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking.
What I want is Joe to come out on his own and do the whole, come on. Let me hear.
I think they're going to do a team entrance. And I think it's going to be B doing a promo beforehand. And then like, Joe maybe pull them back or something. They do a team entrance because there needs to be a massive pop for them to do their entrance together. Is there going to be like, are they going to do a proper like Edge of Cruiser style video though? Or is it just going to be the promo? Oh, there's so much here. This match almost can't live up to the expectations because like they've done so well with this, but like also their payoff on shows has been like, it's lived up to it so far. So, it's amazing. But in terms of then the true pros, obviously being heavily pushed, Liam Royal and Michael May, you know, they're legitimate like threats to these guys. How does this play out? What do you think's happened?
Oh, I think true pros are winning, but still, it's gonna be deadly.
They lost, yeah. They're undefeated as a team. I'm right in saying that, haven't they?
True pros, they say they're undefeated. Like they lost in Belfast in their debut as a team, but that doesn't count because they weren't pinned or submitted, and also it's Belfast, so. Yeah.
I'm okay with that, yeah. Belfast doesn't count. So, yeah, you're pushing... I don't know, but Joe and B are... like, that has to keep going. Like, do you have them go into a feud after that? Like,
yeah.
So this is going to just continue it and go... See, but does that not, like, risk... The problem is when they feud and they break up that it makes it almost serious. Or it has to be a bit more serious to have sex.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Like, it's,
I don't know.
Look at the people involved, you know what I mean? That's...
Yeah.
No, that'd be a laugh. You could do... I'm just... Like, fuck what I know. Like, I don't know. That's what makes it so exciting. I don't know. The two pros are definitely winning, but I don't know how or what happens beyond that. I'm fascinated to see, though.
I'm really leaning towards...
Maybe Angel Cruz comes back. Maybe Angel Cruz saves him from a 3-on-2 beatdown.
3-on-2?
Well, J-Money.
J-Money, okay, yeah. Imagine Angel Cruz.
Oh, do you actually... No.
Imagine
no,
Angel Cruz turned on, like, B or something like
that. Oh! Oh, shit.
Like, yeah.
Oh, man, it's so... I don't want that to be something people are expecting going in either, because, like...
Then it would be disappointing.
Yeah, because
yeah,
odds are that's not happened, you know what I mean? Like, that's like, him leaving wrestling was a very real thing.
It's a real thing, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But well, I think till the end of time, if he ever returns, we'll always be speculating that, you know what I mean? Like,
we'll always want him to return.
Yeah,
we love
that's
Angel
it, like...
Like, it doesn't fully... Like, it's amazing how well they've done since he's left wrestling, like, with B. Like, now he's one of the hottest acts, you know? Because I think that was a legitimate concern. It's like, what's B. Gill going to do now? The Edge of Cruz just aren't the thing anymore. And now it's just, he's just kept the momentum, like, and all for himself, basically. But yeah, we want to see Angel Cruz back. So, like, I think there'll always be a part of us who will want to see that. And it doesn't feel like a stadium without... Have we had a stadium show without an Angel Cruz? Well, the last one, yeah, the fifth anniversary, I suppose.
Did we?
Yeah, he wouldn't have been on that, would he? I don't think so.
I can't remember.
I just remember where I was sitting. This is how I remember stadium shows. I remember where I was sitting. So I don't remember watching an Angel Cruz video from that angle. Which is as good a way to remember as anything. But no, this is going to be class. I cannot wait. I'm leaning towards Joe and B winning here. And I don't know why. I'm just...
I don't know either.
I'm just leaning towards it. It's just... It feels right. Joe is... A former OTT champion, like, Joe can beat anyone, like...
Well, he could have, you know, a few years ago.
Yeah, look, there's nothing wrong with the True Bros winning. That's the smart move, you know what I mean? It's the logical move. This isn't about logic.
You see, you're talking about where do Joe and Be Cool go after this? Where do the True Pros go after this? If they lose to Be Cool and Joe, then what happens? You know what I mean? Realistically, they're the ones who are going to be challenging Morton Hype.
Yeah.
Once Morton Hype win the titles, we'll get to that, obviously.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so that's why I'm going with True Pros.
Yeah, it's like, head says True Pros, heart says Joe and B. I don't know why. It's just sitting with me that they're going to somehow just get a fluke win.
And then you get the shit kicked out of them afterwards, like.
And then Angel Cruz.
No, don't get me hyped. I shouldn't have brought that up. Yeah,
you
can
totally see B getting a roll of like. Oh, man, it'd be so good. Okay, yeah, no. It's tough. Right. Okay, so let's talk about it there. We brought it up. Tag team titles on the line. Morton Knight, Mustache Mountain. If it even happens. We're kind of worried if the show will happen that we're, like, with coronavirus and all, like, in the area. We haven't even got to think about, like, if Mustache Mountain are even going to show. Is Tyler Bate cleared? Has he wrestled since? He has wrestled, hasn't
he? I'm following, like, he hasn't been on NXT, I don't think.
Right, okay. NXT UK, who the fuck knows. Yeah, but this is built for Morton Hype to win. Is there any chance in the world... I know Katie was almost talking herself into it last week that there is a chance the Mustache Mountain retain. But no, this is all Morton Hype, yeah? This is their coronation.
Yeah, obviously.
I thought you were doubting yourself for a second.
I don't like saying, yeah, obviously there are 100% chance this happens, but...
Because we did see Mustache Mountain win the belt to begin with last year.
How could they retain? You know what I mean? Because like, even if, like, hypothetically, like, Joe had them for, like, future dates and stuff, you know those dates aren't...
Yeah, they're
reliable,
not
reliable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, I'm going to go Morton Hype.
Has, like, we spoke about how this can still be a great match. And look, they've had great matches before, so we know they can do it. So, like, there's no reason to worry about this, like, in the ring, as long as it just gets there to begin with. But, like, has this dampened the Morton Hype coronation? Like, have they lost a bit of speed in OTT? Like, have they lost a bit of momentum because
everyone's saying that.
Of all the faffing?
Everyone's saying that, but I think in the moment, now that people really, like, really want to see it, you know what I mean? They just really want to get, like, they just want Mustache Mountain to fuck off, you know what I mean? Like, give us the titles back. I think there'll be a lot of, like, yeah. I don't know. I think, obviously the right time to give them the titles was back in 50 year, but... I don't know.
We can't. There's nothing that could be done. If they pull out, they pull out. Like, do you know what I mean?
Well, you could have, like, stripped Mustache Mountain of the titles, you know what I mean? But I feel like this is better. I feel like we've waited this long, given their win, you know what I mean? Like, it'll be fun. In the moment, it'll be fun.
I do agree, because they're such great workers that they'll be able to pull us back in there. But, yeah, for me, there has been, like, it has taken a hit. And through no fault of the lads, like, that's nothing against, like, Darren or Nathan. Like, they've done as well as they could with the circumstances. But, yeah, now it's just at the stage where it's like, we know it's going to happen. Whereas I think, do you remember it was Morton Hype against the Kings? For me, I still feel like that was the time to have them win the belts. Do you know what I mean?
Ages ago. And I was also at the start of the show and nobody was really, you know, that into it.
But also as well, like, it was like, that was, like... The story for them was, and should have been, like, these are the young guys that you've seen since the start in OTT. They had their first match. Nathan's first match ever was in Contenders. Do you know what I mean? So, with that then, like, it's tough because, like, I think the great value, the best value for Morton Hype winning the belts would have been in that surprise. Do you remember LJ won the gender neutral title? And no one expected it.
Yeah.
And you just felt so happy for him, because then you're like, oh man, like, he's got a proper future here. Like, this is not just he's not just getting like a kind of nice booking. Like, it's not just like, well done, kid. We'll put you on the card. It's like, oh, they have plans for him.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It elevated him, but.
Whereas now, I feel like I would have liked that with Morton Hype, because there was a time where it was like, oh, are they just like.
Oh, that's, I think that was way too early, back when the Kings in the stadium. I mean, that's. Because then it's like, what's next then? You know what I mean? Once they have the tag titles then, at that early stage, where do they go from there?
But see, here's the thing, right? We haven't almost got to see Morton Hype develop because of this. Morton Hype, like, look at them in Fight Factory, for example, okay? Because, like, they're now the veterans in Fight Factory, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, look at their character in that. But they can do that range where they've evolved completely in Fight Factory to the adults in the room, you know what I mean? Because they haven't got to win the tag team championships in OTT, they've had to stay the kind of blue chipper kids, you know what I mean? They've had to stay that boy band gimmick where it's like, we haven't got a chance to see them evolve. I'm looking forward to them finally winning the belts, if that is indeed what's happening. It should be. God help us. But like, I now want to see them evolve, because I've seen them evolve everywhere else. I've seen them evolve on social media. I've seen them evolve in other promotions. I've seen them do that. But in OTT, they've had to stay at that level just because they haven't completed their level they've been on.
In the ring, I think they're much better now than they were when they faced the Kings. I'd rather see them at the level they're at now win the titles than at the level they were at then. And that's not an insult to them then.
No, I just
think like that was before. For me, the match that I saw that made me go, all right, now they're like top tier, was when I went to Cork and I saw them face the Rascals. For other people, it was the Rascals and Mikko Satomura and the Tivoli.
Right.
And I'm, what's the stadium show against the Kings before that? I don't know. Before the Cork show. But for me, and like the... No, I think this is... I think that would have been too early. I think that ideally, maybe the last stadium show would have been the best.
Yeah.
But...
we couldn't get it. It couldn't happen, so...
Yeah, but again, I'd also rather see them face and beat Mustache Mountain, even though everyone else knows what's happening.
Have they dropped the ball a bit on this in the few... And again, it's not even... Dropped the ball, it feels like someone's done something wrong, but I appreciate where OTT are coming from in that... They don't know if the match is going to happen because fucking Tyler Bate pulls out of every fucking show he's booked on. So, like, there's not much they can do because they don't want to get people hyped almost, probably. Again, I don't know. I'm just speculating. But I know as much as you guys do on that part. But, like, for me, I just don't feel primed and ready for this match. I don't feel in the mindset to see more than hype win the belts. Do you get me?
I know I am. I'm ready. Yeah. Fuck it. I think it's going to happen.
Like, I love the lads.
I don't want to jinx it. I really don't want to jinx it. I'm not touch. It's wood. It is wood. I'm touching wood right now. But I'm really excited for this match.
See, what could happen now is that, like, because we're taping this on a Monday and it comes out on a Wednesday. On Tuesday, they're going to have a big fuck off, like, Sean Ryan video package come out and everyone's going to be like, this is the best thing ever. And everything I've just said will be irrelevant.
Oh, yeah. We still have a week till the show. Yeah, they probably will. Yeah. But then, obviously, do you want to jinx it? You know what I mean? Like,
I'm just saying I need to be heated up a bit for this match. It's all I'm saying. I need to be putting them out. It's nothing to do with the lads. Like,
I don't think you do, because I think when you're in the, once you're in the moment and you're there, the hype will go straight to 100. You know what I mean?
I hope so, but there's a part of me right now that's like, no, because I know the result. Do you know what I mean? So you need to give me something.
But you knew the result when British Strong Style, beat the Kings. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So there's always in professional wrestling. There's always that maybe you knew the result. When Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker, you know what I mean? You knew the result when fucking CM Punk beat John Cena, you know what I mean? There's all these different examples to your wrestling where you knew the result and it went the other way. I still think it is more than hype that are winning, but still.
Okay, so do you see what you're doing?
Yeah.
I want that, but from OTT. I want that little bit of doubt that you're throwing into my mind. I want that from the promotion that's promoting this
match.
But
you don't need it, because I just did it, so you're all right.
So that's all
but,
I need.
But if you were OTT again, would you if...
I appreciate their situation.
So
it's nothing against that. That's not even a criticism of them. It's where we're at. It's the situation that we're in. And a lot of that is down to the contracts of the people involved, you know? So I appreciate that. And please don't take it as a criticism there. Anyway, let's move on to the other member of More Than Hype. This is a match where I'm exactly where I needed to be. And all I needed for this match was to fucking show me it on a poster. LJ Cleary against Pac. This has match of the year potential all over it. I am fucking delighted for LJ getting a match of this magnitude. It's going to be amazing. Are you going to be able for this match?
Yeah, I think LJ's going to beat the fuck out of him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think LJ's winning.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that your heart over your head?
No. LJ, he's due a big win like this, you know what I mean? Like, he faced Star and he lost, and, as a single star, he's got no big win that, the team would have. Pac's... I don't know what the deal is with, contracts and stuff, or who's allowed win, who's not allowed win. But have we not seen Pac lose in OTT before?
We may have, but now he's feuding with Kenny Omega on AEW.
Who's that? Who even is? He's no LJ Cleary. You know what I mean?
I'm not disagreeing. I love LJ.
I'm gonna go LJ. I'm gonna stick with that. You know what I mean? Fuck it. Because I mean, you have to look as well. How many people? I was going to use Jeff Cobb as an example. He's a free agent.
you may have signed for AEW. Like, we saw him a couple of weeks ago.
No, but I heard that he wasn't signed.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough.
But, I think when you look at the amount of people in AEW,
mm-hmm.
I don't think that if every single person that comes to AEW is going to win. I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because it's too many. And I just think, I don't know. I think LJ's going to get it. I just have a feeling. I don't know.
Okay, it's an interesting look. But
you know what? That's intriguing because you don't know which way it's going to go.
Yeah,
that's why the match is really fucking exciting because you genuinely don't know what way it's going to go. So
like, this is one where, like, right now I'm like, I feel like Pac's going to win. I don't know the full contract situation though. Do you know what I mean? So like, you could totally toy with me here. I am here to be messed with, and I really want to see LJ get the win here. Like.
And even if Pac wins, that still doesn't confirm that every AEW lad needs to win. You know what I mean?
They
could just decide there. Well, Pac wins. You know what I mean? Yeah. So. I'm very into this.
It's gonna be a fucking. This is like show stealing potential. Like, I'm not too sure if like Star Moxley is gonna be like that five star match. Do you know what I mean?
Fucking will.
I'm not saying we're gonna discuss that in a second. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure. Like, but I'm sure that this is gonna be a fucking excellent match. Do you know what I mean? Like, because put these two together, put Pac and the stuff he's doing like on AEW, the quality of his work is amazing. LJ hungry in the stadium, getting a shot like this. Give them the time they need. This is built up. This is all the elements. This is going to be... I cannot fucking wait for this match. I'm going to go with Pac, but I hope I'm wrong. NLW Championship on the line. Scotty Davis defends against Omari. I've missed a lot of this feud. I haven't been up to date on my catching up on VOD with OTT. What do I need to know going into this? I've seen Omari. He's really good. I know they're generally feuding. What do we need to know?
They had a title match of contenders, and it ended some bullshit disqualification. I can't remember what it was, but I remember I was fucking raging, and then I realized, oh yeah, they'll just scrap it out in the stadium, and I'm happy with that. It also involved OJMO and Callum Black and stuff. It's just really good. Loads of really good matches, and I fucking love Omari, and I think he's going to batter Scotty Davis.
Really?
Yeah, confident. I'm confident Omari's getting that title, for sure. I mean, you talk about you think Scotty's going to go off and face David Starr, and I think he will as well. But I don't think he's going to be doing that with the NLW title around him. I think O'Mari's proven himself as a regular now. He's part of the OTT roster as much as anyone else.
Yeah.
So I don't see why he wouldn't win. I think it's the perfect role for him right now. And Scotty, I think, is going to move on to further up the card. O'Mari is just... He's just constantly entertaining. He's just so good. He's just so fucking good. And yeah, I think he's beating Scotty for sure.
When's the last time Scotty lost in OTG?
I think it was David Starr in Cork. Well, as a singles wrestler, you mean?
Yeah.
Probably David Starr in Cork.
How long ago was that?
August.
So he hasn't lost in, what, like 7 months?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I could be fucking dead.
No, I know it's a thing because I've seen it on Twitter. I can't remember what I saw. Oh. I know it's a thing where he hasn't actually lost many 1-on-1 matches. He's super protected in OTT.
You could have Callum Black cost in the match as well.
Yes.
Which is very likely. I hope not. I want Omari to just beat Scotty clean, you know what I mean? Like, it's such this is for me the show stealer. This is for me the one that I'm looking forward to. I think this is going to be a fucking insane match.
See, I'm going in cold to this. Like, I'm looking forward to this because this is what I like about, like, OTT stadium shows. Because there's some things that, like, because I don't, like, get to watch every show or every... Like, I'll try to watch the main events or the big stuff from every show. I'll always come... like, after a show, I'll always go to Key and I'm like, what do I need to watch? You know, and that's because there's so much fucking wrestling on. So this is just something that's just passed me by. Like Karen Noir at the stadium. All I knew about Karen Noir, like, before his entrance was Jimmy Malloy turn around and goes, wait, you see Karen Noir's entrance. And I'm like, don't say anymore. I just want to experience it now fresh. I want to have that moment for myself. So that's, for me, what this match is. I'm going in totally cold in it. It's like, I love when, do you know when you hear a movie's really good, but you don't know anything about it, and you just go in cold. I love doing that. That's what I feel like for this match. So I'm just, like, ready to... I've no expectations. I've no nothing. There's no pressure on this. I'm just ready for these guys to come out and kill it.
Yeah. It's just going to be great. But this, again, it's the unpredictability of it. But I would consider O'Mari the favourite if we were doing, like, betting odds and stuff.
I'm going to go with Justy as the mystery opponent in the Team OTT. Get Justy booked. I think they're on board with that now. And I'm going to go for Callum Black being off the card because this is a spot in this card. I like what you said. I think they're very conscious about protecting Scotty. I think they know he's future champion. So I don't think having him lose cleanly is in the plans. I think he's their golden goose. They need a golden goose now without Jordan. So I think Callum Black is costing him here. I like everything you're saying. You're swaying me with Omari being NLW champion. I agree. It'd be weird if he faced Star with the belt. You could get away with it. Don't get me wrong. It's fine. But
It'd be unneeded. And it's a way of elevating Omari. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, then like imagine the matches Omari is going to have as champion. You know, like again, you could have a rematch with OJMO. And Callum Black. There's an entire roster top to bottom.
Terry Thatcher, Paddy M, Sean Guinness.
All of them, like Eddie Kingston or someone like that. You know what I mean? So many possibilities. I'm really excited.
Okay, so I'm going Omari as well with Callum costing him. Sami Zayn against Amy Alonzi, Women's Championship on the line. Is this another coronation for someone well-deserving?
No, I think Sammy's going to batter.
Okay. So you think this is going to be more a case of like, it's going to have more in common with, say, Sami Zayn against Valkyrie in the stadium rather than Sami Zayn against Raven Creed at Defiant? You think it's going to be more along those lines?
Well, I don't know what you mean.
Like, that Sami Zayn against Valkyrie in the stadium with Sami Zayn establishing herself as a dominant.
Yeah, well, she just won it when Katie bottled it and lost in Belfast. Clean. But like,
so that's what I mean. Like, this is her first kind of proper Dublin title defence as for a second reign. So, like, is this the match where she's establishing herself?
Yeah, like, it's... I'd be very surprised if she lost it already. You know, I feel like they're going to... Like, I just want to see, for me, the person to dethrone Sammy after whatever amount of time it takes, I want it to be Raven Creed and Sammy versus Raven 3. That's what that's where I feel it, like, that's, again, heart and head, though, you know what I mean? Like, I think it'd be, like, kind of mad if she just lost it straight away. Because then it's like, why not just have Amy be Katie then? You know what I mean?
Because if they went that way, then I totally see why they wouldn't have Amy beat Katie. Because nobody, after Katie's story, nobody wanted to see. That's why I think they put the belt.
I want to see Amy beat Katie.
You have a different relationship to Katie.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I
think that's why they put the belt on Sammy in Belfast. Because Belfast weren't as up-to-date and invested in the Katie story. So Amy beating her would have just had a lot of mixed feelings. It would have been both the instant joy of seeing Amy get her big moment, but also the second wave of feeling would have been, oh, but now Katie doesn't get to be champion. You know what I mean?
Well, it isn't, for me, it just isn't that built up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. I do.
This would be like the biggest moment of Amy Lonzi's career in the national stadium, winning the title. I just think in our first title shot, you know, already, I don't know. I mean, it'd be cool, but it'd be a cool moment, but I don't know. I just think, I'd personally think, it'd be better like a year from now or a few months from now or something if you were going to do it, you know what I mean?
But is the risk here in that case, and I know it's different circumstances, but is the risk here in that case that you get into a more than hype Mustache Mountain situation where you're like, all right, well, we'll have her win the first match, but they're going to keep wrestling and she's going to keep getting closer and closer, and then eventually you just get to a stage, if shit gets fucked up, like people get injured or stuff happens in the middle, and then it's just fucking put the belt on her, just fucking, I don't even care anymore, just put the belt on her, because like you were supposed to do this 2 years ago and now we're here. Like, so for me, I agree with what you're saying. If I was fantasy booking, I might do it your way. And yeah, I agree, we're not exactly poised and ready for Amy, but I have a feeling that that's what's going to happen. I have a feeling that this is her coronation now as the guy in OTT. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because let's go back to Raven and Sammy at Defiant. That was a match that caught a lot of people by surprise. You know what I mean? Part of the greatness of that match was that we didn't expect Raven. It just seemed like a routine title defense. Do you know what I mean? And it ended up...
But it was the main event of that show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Would this get sort of kind of forgotten about under the whole Star Moxley and, you know, all the other stuff that's happening? Should this... I know the stadium is technically the biggest stage, but I think more time was put into the other matches. Yeah. And for Amy's first big title win, I'd like it to be kind of personally the main part of the show, or like one of the main parts of the show, you know what I mean?
If she won on Contenders the next night, it'd be fucking unbelievable. Not even that, but like, if she won in front of that kind of crowd, it'd be perfect.
Yeah, like
whereas
like,
my fear here is, hearing you say that, and I'm thinking of something else, I'm like, do a lot of the stadium crowd know Amy? Do Do you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you run the risk of it almost being... I compared it to Sami Zayn Valkyrie a while back, but almost being Sami Zayn Valkyrie what it was at that time, whereas Valkyrie wasn't even well-established on OTT at the time. And then they came after Will Ospreay and Matt Riddle, and they ended up having to... Like, the crowd just weren't there for him at all. And, yeah, like, ultimately, the risk is there that by you end up having Amy's big moment be... Oh, well, like, that's a lot of the 2,000 people's first time seeing Amy, and they weren't on that journey with us. Whereas having Sammy win is a chance for... Amy's going to get over wherever she goes, because she's got that kind of radiant personality. She's got that kind of infectious personality that she gets over no matter what, and she can play to a big audience, I'm sure. I've no fear about that whatsoever. But... Yeah, I think you risk... By having Amy win here, there's a lot of risk involved, and it could dilute the moment. Yeah.
I would like to see her win in the stadium, but not now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Feel like it's just very out of nowhere. I don't know. Like, what, again, what comes after that?
Yeah.
Evil Amy. That actually, yeah, that comes after.
Imagine...
Trinity Brawl, Amy. I don't want to see that. She used bad words, and it really freaked me out.
I went into this match fully prepared to pick Amy Alonzi. I was like, that's what's happening. You've turned me around. I'm picking Sami Zayn. So are we both going Sami?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go. Now, let's do this. Main event time. David Starr, OTT champion, against John Moxley, AEW champion.
Oh, my God. I actually forgot about that. That's fucking cool.
Champion versus champion. A lot of people coming here just to see John Moxley, big name coming over. It's going to be such an interesting crowd, because I think with Starr against Devlin, a lot of people were hooked on the storyline itself. I think there's half the crowd are hooked on David Starr and they're in the cult now. And then half the crowd are going to be Moxley. And the half that are coming to see Moxley, I'm not sure how up to date they are on, like, what's going on in OTT. And them, like Moxley himself, could be in for a bit of a surprise here. And what it leads to is a fascinating scenario. Is there going to be a Civil War type deal in the stadium on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like, again, Saturday. I think it's going to be like Walter... Walter fucking Starr in the basketball arena. That's what this is going to remind me of. Devlin Starr is another example of that in the stadium. Going to be one of those matches where it's just fucking electric. Everyone's losing their shit for everyone and everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't know what's going to happen. That's the really exciting part. I could not fucking tell you in a million years. Like, on paper, Moxie's the favourite, yeah? But can you imagine Moxie just coming in and beating Starr? And that's it. It's hard to imagine that. It's possible, yeah. But it's hard to imagine that. You know what I mean?
I don't think... Like, if we remove the word just there, do you know what I mean? I think Moxie is winning this match, but, like, I don't think it's going to be anything just.
Like, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. How does he win it, though? There's no way he's just gonna beat him. You know what I mean? Like, there's going to be some sort of, like, shit going down, possibly run-ins, possibly, you know,
keen,
surprises.
Keen. They've just released the hype video.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to watch that on the bus home.
We can watch it right here and now and do live reactions, because a lot of people will have seen it.
Ah, no. I prefer, I don't mean to be buzzkill, but, like, I prefer watching that, you know what I mean? Like, no, because I need to have the... No.
Okay, well, just a nice idea. So, who's your prediction?
I want to enjoy that properly, you know what I mean? In my own world, watching that. I don't know. I don't know who to predict. Do you think we get an AEW title match out of it?
Do you think it's, like, as in, will this be an AEW championship?
Do you think he's just going to bring his title with him and be like, here?
Oh, he's 100% bringing the belt.
But do you think he's going to be like, here, when I put it on the line for a laugh?
This is the mad thing, like, we've got this build with, like, and this, the hype for this match as, like, kind of, without Moxley. Moxley hasn't done anything in this build. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's been purely David Starr and what he's done. So, like, that's...
Well, you're saying that, but you never know what's in that video. That whole bit.
I did want to find out, so he wouldn't sound like ignorant fucks on the air.
It could be, like, a full hour of John Moxley being like, I would die for over-the-top wrestling. but it could be... I'm happy not... As dumb as I sound right now, because you obviously all know what happened, I'm really excited to, like, find out when I get...
3 minutes, dog, so it's not, like, an hour-long promo or anything.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a hype video. Because I think the star in interview last week was...
That I was going to say, that alone is...
That sold a match.
Yeah, yeah. So this is just a bonus. Like, this is fucking fun. You know what I mean? Like,
this is it. They don't have any tickets to sell. You know what I mean? They're just putting this out because they can, like, yeah. Yeah, it is going to be electric. It's going to be awesome. So let's go down. What do you think is going to happen? Head or heart? You can go both if you want.
I'd love to see Star win, but it's really hard to... I just have to go Moxley, because I can't imagine... I just can't picture Star winning. You know what I mean? And I also can't picture them doing... Do you know... No, is that a bit optimistic?
What?
Jordan Devlin costing Star the match?
I think that's very optimistic, where it is.
Do you think? Because the thing is, right, and like, I know he's on NXT in America, but he's still doing UK shows and stuff.
Yeah.
He's not gone anywhere.
Yeah. He's still alive, like.
No, but you know
what, like, if he's free on Saturday, it's not impossible.
I think that's happened.
What if, right? What if it's just an absolute cluster, like fucking...
Eddie Kingston will surely get involved to some extent.
Eddie Kingston gets involved. All the trainees get involved. They beat the piss out of Moxley.
Oh, John Moxley's going to beat the fuck out of Danny Cross. That's going to be deadly.
And then in the middle of it, the lights go out. And then all you hear is, Angel Cruz. No, but yes.
Stop getting me over it. My expectations are high enough as it is. Or this is where Justy gets booked. This is where Justy, yeah, like...
And then he's like, he's in the cult now. Well, he pretty much already was. Yeah, so... No, but then Jordan... Yeah, Jordan comes out. How would Jordan come out, like?
No, I wouldn't... It'd be like...
What if you did, like, a pre-day video?
No, I... Oh, well, yeah, you could if that was the only option.
Theoretically possible.
But I think if you were to do it, it'd have to be him running out, running out himself. Like, no music or nothing. He just runs out with a match.
It's too, like...
Like he did with Star versus Walter.
Yeah, but then he was established. Because for me, in the stadium, that's going to be confusing. Do you know what I mean? If you're ringside, and I know you will be, so you don't care, but, like, if you're ringside, you'll be like, there's Jordan. If you're sitting in the stalls, you're going to be like... There's another person.
No, you know Devlin. You would.
I know, like, and you could establish it, and you could do something, like, you could hit a package pile driver and then be like, ah, and then everyone goes crazy, and, yeah.
You know it's him, because he sold out the stadium multiple times before, you know what I mean?
No, like, I'm not saying that you wouldn't know it's Jordan, but, like, it could just seem a bit random in the moment. It doesn't have to pop. It doesn't have to, like, instant kind of, like, holy shit.
You think, like, lights off, lights on, or something, or, like...
And Jordan's in the ring, yeah. You need to have something, like, that's Jordan Devlin's comeback when we're... Like, consider this, yeah, exactly. Like, if, like, imagine fucking imagine Stone Cold Steve Austin came back to the ring, but he just did a run in a match, and they'd be like, what?
Yeah, that's a good point, actually. Yeah, I get you.
You know what I'm saying? You need the glass breaking. You need,
or
something.
Be like a backstage segment. He's just there, like, fucking in the background. Like,
yeah, this is Jordan Devlin's comeback, so you need a prompt for it. You need something for the crowd to all go, ah!
Or
you know,
maybe Star, like, he's, like, teasing his finisher, and then the music hits or something like that.
See, Jordan doesn't have that kind of music, though. Jordan doesn't have...
You'd have to cut it. You could cut it to the... I know what you're saying, but the intro is very, like... But, like, yeah. If you cut to the main part where it just goes... You know what I mean? Like, the fucking... I'm not talking about his NXT music, by the way. I'm talking about his...
Yeah, I know.
The Inception one.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you cut to, like, the middle of that song, like, the really powerful part, like, I know...
I don't know, no. With music...
But also, his Titantron would come up, so you know who he
is. Yeah, and with musical stuff like that as well, though, you need... For those moments, you need it to be, like... You think you know me. You need that initial prompt. You need the glass breaking. You can't have confusion. You need it to be like, if you smell... There's a reason WWE do it that way.
Yeah.
Because you know it in the second. If you just, like, go, din, 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 everybody be like, wait, what? What? Ah! And then everyone will react to different stages. So you can't do it musically.
No, I think you can do
lights off, then lights on, and Jordan's in the ring. Like, they're beating the piss out of Moxie. There's just the gang of them are absolutely beating the piss.
I think if you timed the Titantron and the music together, I think it would get a pop.
Look, here's the thing. With this storyline, I trust that whatever they do, it's going to be great. You know what I mean?
It might not even be Devlin.
I've no fear of that.
Like, because that's the thing. I know he's an American now and all that, but I'm just thinking, like we have to get to Star Devlin 4, yeah. You know what I mean? We have to get his thank you match, you know what I mean? Like,
we have to have that moment.
And this is the time for this. They have to. I'm so hyped for this. I'm getting proper excited over this, fuck's sake. I love it. Shit. I actually love it so much.
And then you've also got WWE and AEW in the same ring at the same time. You've got the WWE Cruiserweight Champion and the AEW Heavyweight Champion. And the OTT Heavyweight Champion.
You've got Jordan Devlin in the ring with Jon Moxley.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, like.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, yeah.
That might make it not possible, actually.
No, because they're not touching. They're not in the same match.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
Imagine.
It's going to happen. I'm so excited. even if it doesn't, even if Devlin doesn't come back.
In the end, it's just going to be like double end DDT. Oh, there. Hey,
yeah.
It's just going to be like real house showy.
But even still, I'm sure they're going to have a fucking unbelievable match, whatever happens. And the atmosphere alone makes it.
Yeah, they're going to do a stadium brawl. Like.
Yeah, and then you've got fucking like the quality of Starr and Moxley. And it's, again, I'm never before seen match, I'm right in saying, yeah?
Yeah.
So, and all eyes are going to be on it. All, like... Oh, man. I'm so excited.
Do you know what's awesome about this? Like, you said it, when you said all eyes are going to be on it there, it kind of brought it home for me. Like, you have, like, this, in Scrappermania, it was always the biggest event for us. This is the biggest event in wrestling this weekend. Mm. This is a world of wrestling-based event.
And this is why it's cool having David Starr as champion, because you'll see him, like, he's... the biggest unsigned name in wrestling, yeah? And he's going on Twitter saying, like... because normally, whenever you got a big name like that, they're the champion of multiple promotions, and they'll say, yeah, I like all these companies. OTT is a good company, yeah, yeah. But now he's come out and he's like, no, this is the best. Yeah. The best wrestling company in the world.
It's the only company that'll bleed and work with him.
Hey.
Of course he's going to say that.
But it does get a lot of eyes on OTT. Yeah, you know what I mean? It does. Like, you'll see Americans talking about it and all that. And it's so cool. Because, again, I think of my first show, Scrappermania 2, when I started going.
Yeah.
And it's like...
the big news then was, like, Humperdinck versus Humperdinck.
Yeah. You'll never guess who brought in Mr. Kennedy. And it's like, holy shit, we got Mr. Kennedy versus Paul Tracy. You know what I mean? And, like, Luther Ward versus Pete Dunne. Yeah. Like, well, at the time, Pete Dunne, who's Pete Dunne? You know what I mean? He's some Brit, and I don't like him because he's British. And it's the Easter Rising show. And that was the whole thing. Whereas now it's like... global. It's very global. This is, like, it isn't even biased to say that OTT is genuinely the hottest, most interesting fucking indie promotion in the world right now. Like, it's fucking insane. Like, oh man, I love it. I love it so much.
It's gonna be unreal. I can't wait. Whatever happens, we know it's gonna be good. I can't wait. Let's just go all go there on Saturday. Let's just all start screaming at each other and let's have a fucking great night. It's gonna be class. I cannot wait. Please don't fuck it up, coronavirus. That's all I have to say. Guys, we will be there. Come say hello if you see us at any stage. Grab us and we'll all have a good night. We cannot wait. We'll be back next week. Hopefully if Katie Harvey has recovered by then. She doesn't really have coronavirus, guys, obviously. she'll be in the stadium on Saturday. But yeah, Katie will be back. We'll be breaking it all down. I'm breaking down the week that was in wrestling. I'm sure we're going to have loads to talk about. But until then, WrestleMania tickets on sale. By the time you hear this, there's literally, as I'm saying this, there's four table booking tickets left. This is the fastest selling WrestleMania party we've ever had in Buskers, 4 weeks out. Absolutely amazing. Thank you guys for your support. But even if you haven't got table booking, don't worry, there's plenty of general admission tickets left and everyone will get seatings on the night. So we cannot wait. It's going to be great. Get on that. And we're going to have another amazing night in a few weeks' time as well. But until then, for Corporate Keen, for Rick Nash, we'll see you on Saturday at Scrappermania. And that's the bottom line, because Lobo said so.